Greetings, Earthlings. Welcome back to the Straight Spirit Podcast. Thank you for joining me. I'm Lily, your host. Welcome, new listeners. Hello, old listeners. Previous listeners, I should say. Thank you so much for the support you're giving for this podcast. If you have a case to send me, or you'd like a personal reading, I'm going to put all the information down in the description box. So everything I do in my readings is all alleged, strictly my opinion. I am doing a psychic reading. If you don't know how this works, I tune into just about everything. Some cases I don't know anything about it, and I'll tell you if I do. I'm very transparent, or I try to be. All things in my readings on this podcast are alleged, strictly my opinion. I have to say that. I should say that. I may have made the mistake of having caffeine before I recorded, before I hit record, and so my mind is a little bit jittery right now. So it's going to be interesting to see how this reading comes about. It's an exercise for all of us, I guess. Without further ado, this evening, this midnight, this episode is about a case that just sort of fell in my lap. I came across it via a YouTube ad. I knew that an exoneration case was going to come to me. I knew it was coming. And so when I saw Rocky Myers' name pop up on the YouTube ad, I knew that was the one I was supposed to look at. And when I say the one, I have a board full of names that I'm trying to get through, and I want to read like at least one every night, but so far I've fallen behind. Anyway, I didn't know anything about Rocky's case. I believe that's his nickname. So for this episode, I did some brief reading before I hit record. It was just, I felt like I needed to, for this case, have a firm jumping off point where I could just get to the point. Because it feels like there's so many people involved and so much going on that I could start way back in the 90s when it happened, or I could start now. So I just read about very briefly what happened. So Rocky is on death row for allegedly murdering his neighbor and almost murdering her cousin. So the victim's name is Ludie. I think it's Ludie Mae Tucker. Tucker, yeah. And this happened in 1991. Her cousin survived. It was, from what I believe, a stabbing, but I'm going to look into that. She identified some parts of her of the perpetrator, and somehow in all of this, Rocky was arrested, or he was already arrested, and for something else, and they ended up asking him about this case. Apparently, one of the jurors said that it was a hung jury, or they were hoping for that, because some were very much believing in his innocence, and others were very much believed in his guilt. And so they didn't vote for the death penalty. However it works over there, the judge or whatever, they overwrote. They made a determination to go against what the jury said and went with their own one, and they put him on death row. So I'm guessing that his execution is coming up fairly soon. So I thought, there's a reason that Spirit or Source wants me to read this. And I just wanted to take a peek in and see, is he really innocent? Just what's up with this case? Because people seem to believe very strongly that he is. Oh, it did also say in the articles that he has a disability of some sort of mental disability, I believe. So I think he's still able to work. And do things like that, I think. I didn't read too far into it. So people are working really hard at the moment, as they probably have been. I think his lawyer really dropped the ball on the case and missed a deadline, and so it just, now Rocky might, yeah, that might be the end for Rocky. So, okay, what I want to focus on is kind of what happened what's Rocky like, and whatever else comes up. So, as if you know my readings, you know that I scribble while I read. And I go quiet, which means I'm listening to the messages Spirit give me. I think Louie Mae was elderly as well. Just like, who are you calling elderly? Not that old. Got a wicked dry mouth. I feel like I'm not wearing my own glasses. I feel like I'm wearing her glasses, which is interesting. Okay. So first I wonder what Rocky... tell me about Rocky. I wonder about Rocky. 1991. Here we go. Here's some quiet while I scribble. And listen, tune in. Okay, I think some of the words that I'm going to speak in this episode are going to be really harsh and come across as really, really terrible. But I have to tell you that it's the energy that I'm getting, and I give you the closest word that represents that energy. I am certainly not calling anyone these names. It's like Spirit will give me a whole ton of words that other people may have used to describe this person. I'm not calling them those things. Certainly not. Okay, the first word I had was dope. Dope. Intellectually, possibly, as well as, you know, drugs. Leaves then. I wonder if his disability is subtle, or you know, people might have been like, what's wrong with you? You stupid or something, because he couldn't quite catch on. But I do believe he can hold a conversation. I'm wondering if it's a processing delay or of a comprehension. And maybe his skills at conversation and like stopped. It doesn't feel like it grew to full adult capacity. You know, and some people probably wouldn't if they were just having quick conversations with him. Or maybe his neighbors, not just Ludi, maybe they were saying, well, that's how you say her name, I think. She's putting like Louie Mae, saying Louie Mae. Or possibly people who saw him in the street or neighbors thought he was quiet, but weren't aware of why he was quiet, quite possibly. Like when they saw, because I can see him going into his house or wherever he lived, his apartment or whatever, going into the building and like he's quiet, the quiet neighbor. The people around him may have been noisy, like if he had friends over or co-workers or whoever he was messing about with over, they may have been loud, but I feel like he was quiet. And I don't know why, but I'm seeing Ice Cube, like young Ice Cube, NWA days with the... this is the era, I suppose, the Jerry Curls and the flannel shirt kind of vibe. Yeah, this is... I'm not saying he wore that, but this is the view that the subject you're giving me right now, that kind of vibe. Young Ice Cube though, not older Ice Cube. So if you're like, who's Ice Cube? He's a rapper. You've probably heard of him. But he's saying not like long Jerry curls, not long hair, like right down the back, like shorter. Maybe more like Ice Cube's son. So Jerry curls are out of style now, I guess. Quiet boy. Suspicious eye. Louie Mae mate, or somebody, this neighbor that I'm looking through the eyes of, could be Louie Mae. this neighbor, I want to say just neighbor, this neighbor, suspicious of all people, all goings on, not just, did she know him as another name? Or if she didn't know him, then this neighbor I'm seeing through the eyes of knew him by another name. Something softer than Rocky. Which I'm guessing would be his first name, Robin, possibly. Or, like, his street persona, and then there's the way other people, maybe white people, I want to say, knew him. Like, it's two sides of the coin. When you're in polite or proper company, it's ma'am and Mr. Like you would write on a job resume these days, your full name. But when you're with your friends, or you're, you know, with the criminal element, you use your alias. That's what I'm getting here. If he knew his mum, I wonder if he knew his mum because he's referenced. Well, she's being referenced right now. Pardon me. Or a mother-like figure, a black woman, as like, or a dark skin, some sort of dark skin if she's half caste or whatever. It's like, it's from a sweetness. It's like a sweet boy. If it wasn't his mum, someone who helped raise him or take care of him, could be a sister, could be an auntie, could be someone he's not even related to, but it felt like a motherly or an older sister figure. Could be an auntie or grandma maybe, like sweet, he was sweet. Didn't get into any trouble. I'm feeling like when he was younger, it was simple pleasures. You know, things like riding a bike, or if you can't ride a bike, it was just going out to play. That was the joy. Or like being around his favorite people, certain friends or loved ones. Like for other kids, the bike, use a bike as an example. He would bike, or for other kids, the bike was a way to get to the fun part. And I'm feeling like Rocky was just happy to be riding the bike. You know, it really makes me think of, I don't know if you guys have seen it, but it's making me think of, there's a police officer on YouTube or TikTok, a white police officer who's made a lot of friends in his neighborhood. And there's, I'm not sure what his name is, starts with D. Anyway, he has a friend in his neighborhood who is disabled as well. Can't converse, can't hold a conversation, but loves to ride his bike to the police officer's house to hang out and just be with him. And he'll do that in like ridiculous heat. I don't know, if you've been on TikTok or whatever, you've probably seen them, but they have the greatest friendship, and he's so happy when fans send him socks, like crazy socks, and t-shirts with a picture of him and his friend police officer on it, and it's the sweetest thing. And this is kind of what I'm getting, this image they're showing me about Rocky when he was young. It was like the joy was in the now, in the simple things, while he was younger. Does that make any sense? I heard, wouldn't hurt a fly. Sometimes, you know, with intellectual disabilities or whatever, there can be frustration and acting out and trying to deal with anger in particular ways and having these big feelings. But I really do feel, for the most part, as a kid, like innocent, maybe messing with the wrong people, or had an older brother or an older male figure poorly influencing them. But I feel like Rocky smiled a lot longer than most boys his age or men his age. It's like, while everyone else was getting caught up in the shit, he was just, you know, when young men learn to stop smiling in those areas and places and especially back then, you know, smiling is maybe seen as a sign of weakness, and I could see him continuing to smile because he's just that kind of person at that point in time. What I saw Rocky doing when I first peeked at him, at the energy, was maybe him and some friends. I wouldn't even call them friends, but just people he's running with. And he's got a box, and they're telling him what to do, and he's like loading it off. When he was younger, loading it off a truck or onto a truck. You know, it's, he's just going along with it. I feel like he's easily coerced, at least back then, before he had some help or people to give him the knowledge. Knowledge is the word I was looking for. Doesn't mean he's not culpable. I heard culpable. But legally, I suppose, whether he intended to or not. I'm kind of getting I'm hearing theft. Maybe he was into petty crimes. Guilty by association. Like, up until this age where I'm, like, this era where I'm looking at him, I don't feel like there's any malice. I feel like it was, he was goaded by others. Like, I'm not sure if he got the name Rocky because of Rocky Balboa. So it's possible that he was used as the muscle, you know? Like, Rocky, go over there and do this thing. Or, you stand guard here. Or, hey, so-and-so said they're going to do this. You know, let's go get them. And, you know, maybe Rocky had a hell of a left hook or a right hook, you know. I wonder if he is left-handed. A bruiser. Bruiser. That's the kind of vibe I'm getting. Not smart. Not treated like he's smart. Treated like he was a... he worked for them, you know? You know, I mean, real friends keep you out of trouble. Real friends say, hey, no, don't do that. Like, you don't need to be doing that. Come over here and let's just play a game of cards, or let's go to the library, or go watch a movie. Let's just keep you out of trouble. But I was thinking of Hellfire Club on Stranger Things. But in this case, it wasn't like that. And I think that was just, that was happening to all the young men back then. And girls, I suppose, in their own ways. Trying to survive, trying to make it. I'm wondering how long his mother or female motherly figure, if he had one, was in his life. Because it feels like it was cut short. Or it wasn't there at all. Or he just didn't listen. Okay. Now we're getting to the crux of it. I'm seeing people smoking weed. I don't know if it was him or people around him. So that wouldn't surprise me if that was going on. Which may, if he didn't, there was people around him, which may attribute to the funny feeling I've got in my head right now. I've never touched stuff, so I'm assuming from what I've seen and heard people say about it on movies and stuff. Okay. Forceful. Enforcer? The big guns. Get into trouble. He doesn't need to be getting into this sort of trouble. I actually think he has a talent. They're telling me that he's got a talent in other things, that if he had pursued that, like in an ideal world, if he had pursued that, he'd stayed out of trouble. Like, even though he, like, how do I put this? Because I'm seeing him having, like, a community college or college sort of opportunities, like, at a lower functioning level. maybe with a with help, with support, with a sponsorship or something, to do what he's good at. And it feels artsy, it feels artistic, like poetry. If he's not good at writing, it's spoken word or music. What is it? Could even be rapping, beatboxing. There's something, my first thought was poetry. It could be drawing. There's something that he's great at, and he may not be that aware of it. Maybe, let's say if it's drawing, it's art, something artistic. It could be graffiti, I don't know, spray paint. I'm guessing here, but it's something along those lines. It's something that you wouldn't expect. It's something that, I couldn't even be cooking. It's something that most young men at his age and that time, in that era, were not going to school to do, or were not going to get a career in, especially, you know, if people were telling him or holding him down and saying, you know, you're not smart enough for that. You're not smart enough, you know, you can't do that. But there is something. Yeah, there's definitely something he's talented at. Because the thing that he's talented at requires feeling, not comprehension, not communication or intellect. It requires emotion. And that's something I think he can somewhat understand or express. To a point, you know, if it's not with words, he feels it. What's he been doing in prison? Has he been doing some sort of craft or something in prison? Even before that, I feel like he might have, let's say when he was younger, he drew or sketched a picture or he wrote a poem, like Tupac. I mean, Tupac was a poet, a great one. I think it's manly. Tupac, he'd be considered one of the greatest gangsters of all time, and he wrote poetry and went to, I think he went to art school or something like that. I'm getting a similar undertone with Rocky, but just that his intellect isn't quite there. Arrested Development, maybe? But I'm getting, like, seeing, like, Tupac putting his arm around Rocky's shoulders and, like, saying he just needed a little guidance and help to get there, but it wasn't available at that time. People were more likely to put him down or shut it down because they weren't doing that themselves, or like, don't do that. You know, remember that? Okay, I'm not saying this. I never said this. But do you remember back in the day that it was like all the bullies and shitheads and all that would say, oh, that's gay? I don't know. In Australia, when I was in high school, people said it a lot. Like, not nice people, obviously. But that's the kind of vibe I'm getting, that they would sort of say, you know, it's not the done thing. But so anyway, yeah, so imagine he drew something, wrote something, created something, crafted something, and people would say, wow, you know, that's really, really good. That's really good, man. But then it got put aside for this other stuff. Or someone may have encouraged them, maybe a female encouraged them. But this doesn't feel like it's widely known. He may not even know that he's good. Or think it's a talent, but there's something. Get back to the kiss. So tell me about Rocky as an adult. I heard messed up, mixed up, under scrutiny, under the pump, and under a thumb. Just feels like more of the same. Being in trouble he didn't need to be in, but it doesn't feel like it was fair to call it his choice. It doesn't feel like he just got up one day and was like, I'm going to go do shitty things, or I'm going to go do petty things. Certainly not many people break the law because they enjoy it. A fair few probably get a thrill from escaping the law. But most of it's necessity, right? I'm guessing. I haven't looked at the stats, but that's the way it certainly feels to me. At least in this case, in that era. I think he was quite young. I think he was quite a young man. Considered an adult, possibly, when he was arrested for this crime, jailed for this crime. Not the first time he'd seen arrest or jail, I don't think. This was the big one. This is the big case, obviously. But I don't feel like he did... I don't feel like the punishment fits the crime, the crimes that he did. They still feel really petty and small. I may be wrong. He may have a rap sheet that is full of murder and assault and... But if it is, it feels like it's the people around him. These are the words that I heard. People he was fucking with. And that's, you know, not me again. That's the energy. I feel like they all bailed when he got caught. I want to say that none of them were there for him. Like, out of that group. Maybe one person. But... that wasn't running around with them, like a family member or a cousin or something. But they're like, this is one, at least, you know, one, but I'd go to see him or take care of him. I feel like he's horribly suffered in prison because he's intellectually disabled. It feels like decades long of torment. And I feel like he would have expressed it to his initial attorneys. I want to say one and then two or three. But it was like, someone making a plea, like, you got to get me out of here, or, you know, a quiet plea, like, he's being mistreated, but then it just nothing being done, or, like, he shut up about it. He's making me feel like he can shut up and take a hit to the head, like, he can just take the abuse. There may be, like, a dissociation there. It's made me feel like he's stupid anyway. I'm not calling him stupid, but this is what... nothing he can do about it. I think he's learned to make friends and what was that show? Prison Break. I watched that for some reason a couple of weeks ago. I started watching that again. A fascinating show. But what they're making me think of is I think he's learned to make friends and connections... like, I'm hearing along the garden path, like, to curve away from trouble, like, stay out of it mostly, unless necessary, but I feel like he just wants to, I'm thinking of flowers, maybe he just wants to sit there and, I heard peaceful, like, smell the flowers, pick the flowers or something. It's just wants to be left alone, wants to get out. I don't think he's given up on freedom, but he's somewhat like resolute, resigned, resolved. What's that word? I also get him being really on edge. So if he's got his sitting with his back to the gate or like to the table or something, or to the wall, so he can, like, his eyes are wide and he's watching everything. And I see time, like, looking for danger, and I see time ticking over like a time lapse forward. Like, he's just been living like this. Now, if he's in death row, it's possible that he's rarely having contact with other prisoners, but I don't think that's where he was initially. Because at some point, he would have been in general, I don't know, I'm assuming he would have been around other prisoners until they put Rocky on death row, whatever. Okay. So, what I'm getting is that the time that he's doing does not fit the crimes he was doing, he was committing. Okay. Got the neighbor back here. I forget his mind is like a jumble of basic shapes and like it's maybe not this far back, but it's like kindergarten, preschool development to a point. Does that make sense? It certainly doesn't feel like it's high school level than adults. It feels like it's arrested. I keep hearing arrested development. Can feel Rocky being super surprised at the things the police were saying to him about the case or about why he was arrested. If he may have been arrested for another crime and then picked up this one, or was arrested for this, or whatever, however it worked out. I see him sitting at the desk, excuse me, young, and I can see him being wide-eyed and surprised at what the police officer is telling him or asking him about, or accusing him of, or maybe hearing that there was a witness and being like totally surprised. You know what, I would love to see the behavior panel analyze his videos. And they're a YouTube channel, go check them out. I find most of what they come up with and my readings, their analysis and my readings are usually typically congruent. I trust what they say to a point, you know? They need body language. I feel like the detectives or the police officers that handled this case were smarter than him. And he couldn't comprehend everything they were telling him. It's like he didn't fully understand his rights, he didn't fully understand the law, he didn't fully understand the crime. It was a whirlwind. It was like, how did I end up here? How did I end up in this case? How did this happen? I see him wondering who did it. Who set him up, or who pinned him for this, or who did this? Who made him take the fall? If he didn't do it, you know? It's like, who's responsible for this? Putting him behind bars? You know, somebody rat? Somebody was the witness? Who did the crime? Let's see. Like, I'm not going to say he was innocent across the board, but I think his intellectual abilities need to be taken into account here. You know, up to a certain age, up to I think 10 at least, children are not held responsible for certain behaviors and crimes because they're not developed enough to understand the consequences. And you know, it's the whole reason why children don't drive cars. And I'm sorry if it sounds like I'm making Rocky sound dumb or incompetent. That's not what I mean at all. I mean, you can't tar him 3333 on the timer with the same brush as everybody else. And actually, I was watching some footage of the JonBenet case where I'd seen this before, but it came up today. Her brother was being interviewed by Dr. Phil. Oh, and there was another video where some experts were analyzing his videos. I'm getting to a point. And on one hand, the behavior panel was saying that they believed that JonBenet's brother had some form of autism, which explained a lot of his behavior and a lot of his odd mannerisms, to use the word that was in the video, and some of his behavior and the way he's able to, you know, sometimes he would have this odd smile, and they said it's, and a lot of his behavior seemed to be tied to being on some sort of spectrum, right? But then I looked at the other video and there were all these experts on there who were judging him as a child and his video as a child, just like they would any other child, and quite harshly. They were judging him like an adult. He was a child who was quite possibly on the spectrum, and there's this one woman there saying, he said, "Don't touch me," and you know, something was really wrong. or he, you know, hit his sister, and of course, I can see how someone might be concerned about. But let's look at the "Don't touch me." I'm getting back to Rocky, but when Burke, JonBenet's brother, was a little kid, he didn't want this woman that he knew to touch him, and he snapped at her. And some people might be like, "What the hell's wrong with this kid?" But I think we all know a little bit enough about the spectrum to understand that there are sensory issues at play. And if you put that, if you allow him that, it doesn't seem so bad. It makes sense. Some children don't like being touched. Some grown-ups don't like being touched. So it wasn't that he's like a psychopath or crazy in this instance. It's that he's on the spectrum, and it's something about his brain development that makes him behave and have these issues. Even right down to, I'm certainly not speaking for everyone on the spectrum, and I'm not an expert in that, but I have witnessed people on the spectrum, kids on the spectrum, certainly not my children, but like friends, and other kids in, you know, play groups and stuff. And I've seen them explode with these big feelings, these really big feelings. They're, of course, they're not meaning harm. They just have this different way of dealing with things, this inability to deal with things or come out of that feeling as quickly as other children sometimes. And so in both of these children's cases that I witnessed, the mothers were doing an amazing job of soothing them and being able to get them out of it as much as they could. But the behavior that occurred during those big rage moments were, you know, I could totally see someone on the spectrum hitting somebody else with a golf club or whatever they said JonBenet's brother did. Not during her murder, but just while they were playing one day, even if it was accidental. So what I'm getting at, my point is that if you look at JonBenet's brother and you look at him as an adult, yes, the things he said in the interview as a child, which is so weird, and the behaviors he did as a child, odd, if you look at him through an adult lens. But if you look at him as a child who's on the spectrum, it makes complete and total sense, not worth judging, not peculiar at all. You cannot tar him with the same brush, and that's what I'm saying about Rocky. You can't look at his behavior and look at him like an everyday adult. Does that make sense? You've got to make allowances and look at him through the lens of his... there was a neuro word that came up there. A neurodivergent. If he's not on the spectrum, it's a, like, disability. The opposite of neurotypical, put it that way. Excuse me. But it doesn't feel like it's ADHD or autism or something like that. It feels something else. Possibly. Yeah, it feels something different. Possibly even something that occurred when he was little, like hit to the head or drugs at birth, pregnancy, something, or an accident, or something that occurred to him that caused a disability. Or maybe, you know, he was born with it, but anyway, I digress. I think you guys get my point there, is that it's unfair, I believe, for people and the law and detectives or police officers, whoever the hell was looking at him like he's the person, he's the culprit, whether he was or not, you can't look at him like an ordinary adult because he doesn't function that way. So the crimes that he committed, one might go, oh my God, look at this rap sheet. And someone who understands the way his mind works might go, well, yeah, of course he was going to do that. Look at the people he was hanging around with. He's like moldable, like Plato. He fits the environment he's in. I actually wonder if he's made an elderly friend or someone who's wiser, a peaceful friend or something. Or maybe he's become the older, yeah, because what they're showing me is the character in Prison Break, Westmoreland or something. He's like the older, chilled guy who stays out of trouble, doesn't want any trouble. Been there a long time, he's an old timer. you know, knows the guards well, just wants his cat and to be left alone. But I certainly do think Rocky wants to get out. Okay. Yeah, he didn't have any comprehension. And so he, you know, he's of course, and his family or friends or whoever's close to him were looking at him and saying, trust your lawyer. Or maybe they're saying, don't trust him. But it was, so I see him looking at his lawyer or being encouraged to trust the lawyer. Like they know what they're doing. Like to comprehend everything for him. But this person fell way short. Like this guy didn't even like fumble the ball, he dropped the ball significantly. I feel like there was more than one lawyer. There's no way that Rocky needs to be in jail this long. No. It feels like a red tape incident. Like this just, how many people, even if let's say Rocky did the crime, let's say for shits and giggles that he did it. I mean, of course, we can't forget about Louie Mae and her cousin. But let's say he did the crime. There are so many people out there who have done less time for a similar crime. I'm not saying that's okay. I'm not saying that if he did the crime, he should do less time or whatever. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, it feels excessive. His time behind bars is excessive. Drawn out and long and wasting time. Not right. I feel like he was largely innocent of this crime. But let me look into it, because I haven't looked into the crime yet. Just didn't know what he was being taken away for. It's like, what? He probably maintained his innocence. But I'm also getting, you know what I'm getting to? You know the Stephen Avery case, Brendan Dassey, the young kid who has a very, very low IQ. Allegedly, some people have said that he, after being interviewed, was giving the answers the detectives wanted to hear. Whether that's true or not, I'll let you decide. But this could be a case of that too. And even the same with Burke Ramsey, JonBenet's brother. There's this need to please the interviewer. It's like, if I do a good job, you'll like me and let me go. Or, like, you won't hurt me if you like me, you know. If I tell you what you want to hear, I can go home. Maybe. Shit like that. So, I'm wondering if Rocky ever gave answers that made it sound like he did the crime. I'm wondering if that was just something to do with that kind of behavior. People-pleasing behavior or authority-pleasing behavior. Which sounds, you know, I know it sounds odd if he was a black, you know, he's a black man in the 90s. Usually the relationship there with authority is not good. I don't think they investigated this case thoroughly in regards to Rocky, really. It feels like, because what I saw was a detective, look at Rocky, say he's, you know, they got him, get up and dump the case file in the bin. Because what that says to me is that we're done with this, we locked him up, we got him. And it feels like they just did not investigate, or they thought they had the right guy. Or that it was lazy, I could say that, it's possibly lazy detecting, investigating. But it was like, case closed, we got him. And didn't look any further into it. It wasn't like, let me just see that crime scene one more time. It didn't feel like it was due diligence. It feels like a speed closing cases. Zip it up, close it out. Like, oh God. You know, for lack of a better description, it sounds so crass. But like a guy taking a piss and then zipping up his fly. Like, done here. Zip it up, it's closed, case closed. You know what, I even wonder if that's, I'm sorry to make this connection, but this is where they're taking me with the visions they're giving me. I wonder if that's what it was like with her body as well. They just zipped up, no, hardly any investigation. I'm talking like low quality CSI investigation. It's like, oh yeah. Oh my God, did they really say that? I'm certainly not saying this, but what I heard was one of like the detectives or someone involved with the investigation having this attitude of like the bitch was stabbed, or someone saying the bitch was stabbed. Could be a reporter or the, you know, somebody around the investigation or the case. Oh gosh, it's terrible. And then it was like no further investigation needed. We got a stabbing and we got the guy who we think did it. Zip it all up, close, case closed, put it away, next. And then just go and have a tea at the pub or bar, or, you know, have a good dinner. Steak dinner, job well done. Pat on the back, though they didn't deserve a pat on the back. Because Rocky's just sitting there going like, wait, what? What? What did he say? What does that mean? I don't understand, how could this be? They say that guilty people sleep in prison. If that's true, Rocky's looking out through the bars like, don't want to be there. Okay. I feel like as much as he was disrespected, she got a little bit more respect, but not a lot. It wasn't like she was the queen. She's going, you have to look at how many cases they had, how many unsolved homicides they had back then. She said you would be stunned to know how many crimes were going on, shooting, stabbings, all of that back in that day, that era in the 90s, 1991. I'm hearing names like Harlem. Like, she said back then, put yourself in the shoes of people back then. You know, you can't just give one crime special treatment unless it gets picked up by the media on the news. She's like, it was sweep it under the rug, nobody cares. It's an old person, you know, and there may have been detectives who did care about her, but it just doesn't feel like it was for long enough to really get this case. And I actually feel like if somebody really opened up the case again and had a look, which I think some web sleuths have done, or investigators who are not attached to the law enforcement department that handled this, people who are looking into it to exonerate Rocky, I think, are like, oh my God, how did they not see this? I feel like it's obvious. If you open the case file and you look at it with an open mind and unbiased judgment, you would be like, of course he didn't do it, or there's no evidence to say he did it. Like, how is he on death row when there's no evidence? Like, that's what it feels like. And we all know from the Stephen Avery case that any sort of confession is not always legitimate, right? You know, there are coerced confessions, etc., yada yada yada. Okay, so it's really looking to me like he is innocent, but let's look at the crime now. She's saying that she's great. Ludie Mae is saying that she's grateful that her cousin survived. She's saying, go on without me, and she's pushing her forward. Go on without me. Like, spiritually, in spirit. If she's watched her and her life live, she's talking about a beautiful life. Even though she may be traumatized, you know, she's saying she's lived a beautiful life. And Ludie Mae is saying it's better that it was her. She's saying she couldn't have lived with the knowledge that her cousin had been the one to go. She said it's better that it was her. So I don't know if her cousin had children or something, or was like someone she looked at like a child, or I don't know. But let me clarify. It's like Ludie Mae was the one taking care of her cousin, even if they were the same age, or it was like getting like best friends, golden girls. But I feel like the cousin was younger in some way, in the relationship balance or physically. I'm seeing Ludie Mae being caught off guard. Probably eating or having if Ludi made baked or something. I'm seeing her with like a tray with baked stuff and being caught off guard, someone entering the house. If this was nighttime and she was asleep, just take it as symbolic. She said, why would he do that? Why would he just come in after all that time? I think they may have been neighbors for a while, possibly. But she said, why would Rocky, why would he do that? Almost like it doesn't fit his MO of robberies or theft. Like it doesn't, it's brazen. And she's saying, even if it was a robbery gone wrong, she's saying it's too harsh for Rocky. It's too harsh for him. She said he may be disabled, but he's not stupid. You know, even he knew there were limits to some things. What this feels like is someone with a malicious, harsher energy. She said he wasn't the only black man in the area. Was down south in any way, because she sounds like she's got a southern or some sort of accent. She's saying, no, he did not hurt me. No, he did not. No, he did not. I almost feel like the person who did was slimmer or taller. Like, not, I mean, still may have been big, but I'm just feeling like sucked in on the side a little bit. And harsher, menacing, an undertone of menace. Rocky doesn't seem to have that in everything I've seen of him. He may have done violent things. I don't necessarily know that he did, but let's say if he got in some fist fights or he was beating people up for money, like for his crew, or if he had a crew. You know what I mean. Like you see in those gangster movies. What do they call that guy? You owe my friend money, so I'm going to beat you up. Enforcer or something? Anyway, I don't keep up with that shit. But what I'm feeling is two different energies. Rocky doesn't seem to have any menace in him or malice. It seems like if there was any sort of violence physically, it wasn't like an undertone of harm. It was a show, or it was an act, or it was just doing what his people were telling him, or like getting the job done. Right, like he's in the fight because he has to be in the fight, but he doesn't want to hurt people, really. He's not going out of his way to punish or maim or what was that word, disfigure. Like it's like a job. I'm not getting this any sense of enjoying hurting people from Rocky. And I think that's why it's such a shame. Again, I never said he was completely innocent of all crimes. I never did a bad thing in his life. I'm saying he doesn't have this undertone of malice that this perpetrator has. I do feel like he's slimmer. Like not as wide, maybe taller, maybe similar height. Why am I getting green? Like a green plaid shirt or green. Something about his clothing or his body is green. Almost like he wasn't this skinny. Almost like if Rocky was Ice Cube, then this guy would be Snoop. You know, this is the kind of differences, but you know, not that skinny. I get this person being completely capable, obviously, of wounding and hurting people. I don't think Rocky's ever Like, I just can't see him stabbing an elderly lady, even if it was a robbery gone wrong. And her cousin, like, it almost feels like he would, like, if he even got as far as to stab somebody once, stab an older lady once, it's just unfathomable. Then he would stop out of guilt. This is like, he would know this is bad. But this other person is, I'm hearing intent, intent. It's not the first person, but I feel like they, I'm just hearing Rocky would never. And everyone knows him, that knows him, really knows him, I think is adamant about that. Rocky would never. I think he may have had a special relationship with an elder woman, like a, or let's say, for example, he was raised by a grandma or an aunt or something. Like, I just can't see him doing what they say he did back then. The person who did it, I feel like maybe his hair was longer. I had a hat, possibly. Laying low, I see them laying low and maybe going to live with a cousin or something. Maybe even leaving town or just laying low. But this is like her carte blanche. Like, oh, well, they think, like, they're not even looking for him. They're not even looking for me because they got Rocky. They got that guy. I don't even know if he knew Rocky. So they got that suspect. They got that guy. So I'm free. But I see them being smarter about it. Still dangerous. Still void of empathy. But is obviously not willing to come forward and say, hey, you know, he didn't do it, I did it. It's just under the radar, like sly, sly dog. May have told people close to him that he did it, and they were keeping his secret because, you know, you don't snitch. Is the thing with Rocky's case. If you make enough noise, then he will get exonerated. You know, if the public is that outraged, and so this is the thing where you get enough likes, you get enough views. That's what his life is depending on. He may just get a. So overall, do I think from this reading that Rocky killed Ludie Mae and attacked her cousin? He would never. I'm even wondering if their paths ever crossed. Okay, so Ludie Mae. She's saying that it was like to shut them up, and it was an opportunity, crime of opportunity. It's almost like he grabbed the knife off the table and stabbed them. Or, you know, if he had, not Rocky, this perpetrator, if he had the knife with him, it was, 'cause, well, I see him grabbing something off the table and then attacking them, but it's like opportunity, you know? Like she's screaming or she's upset, shocked, and then, oh shit, there's another one. I gotta shut him up right now. If I'm gonna get out, he's like, this is me or them, it's they're going down. Like, conscience doesn't come into play for them, for like, with them, if it's, because they've got this mentality, if it's them or me, it's gonna be me who lives, you know, they're going. And out the window or out the door, escaping. Feels in the night or darkness, but that could be symbolic. Okay, what I want to do is just read a little bit very quickly with you guys. Oh my god. Sorry, I've just opened Minecraft. Go away. Rocky might have found faith too. I just want to read with you a bit about the case so we can find out. Ludie Mae. American Civil Liberties Union. Of course, I'm well aware that things that I read may not be factual, so take it with a grain of salt, like things that I read off the internet. 2019. Yeah, this the other thing I want to say. What I wanted to say was, it also feels like there's something wrong, a flawed system. That's what it feels like too. He's not the only one. Okay, so according to this article, October 4th, shit, that's today. No, that's tomorrow. Wow, how's that? How is that? So October 3rd as I'm recording this, October 4th. The crime occurred for her. It was not a coincidence that this happened. On the night of October 4th, 1991, Mammy Dutton was asleep in a bedroom at her cousin's house. Mammy Dutton? In Alabama, the cousin, Ludie Mae Tucker, lived a few blocks west of the... Hang on, let me skip some of this description. It was a crime-filled neighborhood, and the doorbell rang at midnight. When Dutton appeared out of her room, she saw... Okay, this is written kind of peculiarly, but I think what they're saying is Ludie Mae and Dutton, the cousin, were sleeping together in the house. When Dutton appeared out of her room, the cousin, she could see Ludie Mae talking through the window blinds with a man on the porch. He was agitated and said he'd been in a car crash and needed to use the telephone to call his family. He said he was bleeding to death. Ludie Mae offered to dial the number for him. Dutton could hear he'd come inside the house. He was jabbering and his voice was quivering, allegedly, according to the cousin. Ludie Mae said her husband was in the other room, which was odd because she wasn't married. That's not odd. That's her being fucking smart. Ludie Mae was sharp as a tack. Except that, you know, bless her, I wish she hadn't have let him in the house. But, you know, I guess he could have found a way if he really wanted to. Would have moved on to someone else's house. But that's clever right there. Ladies... Guys, don't ever tell people when you are completely alone and defenseless. Make shit up. Okay. Ludie Mae cried out. Dutton was scared to leave the room. She knew that he was hurting her. The man then ran into the cousin's room, stabbed her in the side, and ran out of the house. She was wearing a light-looking shirt. Ludie Mae dialed 911. She probably saved her cousin's life. What a hero. Ludie Mae, you're a hero. I just want to say it didn't have to happen this way. Like, this could have been avoided in so many different ways. If they had caught this guy on a previous crime, if he hadn't come in the house, if Ludie Mae hadn't been stabbed where she was stabbed, if the cousin had been there in the room to help, like, not that it's her fault at all, but you know what I mean, like, this didn't have to happen to her. An officer who was patrolling the neighborhood arrived. She was still alive. She described him as a black male, stocky and short, with a light colored shirt that had blood on it. Ambulance rushed her to the hospital, but it was late. 2 years later, a man named Rocky Myers was convicted. Okay, so the time of the crime, Rocky was living across the street from her with his wife and children on a converted duplex. So convicted on the basis of scant evidence by a nearly all-white jury in a trial that only lasted a week, Rocky has an intellectual disability. He is below the crucial 75-point threshold for a fall. So he, I don't think they can even give him an IQ. His death sentence was imposed by a judge who overruled the jury. The jury recommended life without parole. And this procedure that they used to override the jury is no longer legal. So they probably have grounds with that in this case. Because of egregious conduct by an attorney working on the case, Rocky lost his chance for an appeal, which he could not, so he could not present new evidence. Yeah, that's bullshit that this sort of red tape is keeping him, you know, and Ludi Mae's going, they're the real guys. Free. She's going off scot-free. Just reading, skipping. There's a picture of Ludi Mae here. She does have big glasses. Okay, there's another suspect. They searched her house. They did not lift usable fingerprints, but they did determine a VCR was missing. The day after, a local man handed over to the police department a VCR matching the one taken from her house. He said he found it at his sister's house. The house wasn't an average family home. It was being run as a shot house where you could buy whiskey, beer. There was a dealer there named Leon Butch Madden. Police were aware of this. And some are saying that he had some sort of working agreement with the police. So they were letting him sell his stuff, his drugs, while he was giving them information. Which could be an explanation as to why, if he had anything to do with it, they didn't, they covered it. But let's see, when police called Butch in, he complied. He had Willie Roadrunner Rabin with him. They said Anthony Coolbreeze Ballantyne traded the VCR. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He showed up sweating, shaking, acting paranoid as hell, and he traded it for crack. Hell neighborhood. I want to say hellish neighborhood. So Coolbreeze, the guy who traded the VCR, was well known in the neighborhood, heavy user, but his family was respected with deep roots in the town. There was another tip that pointed him towards him in the his involvement in the case. A woman in the neighborhood said she'd seen him run into an alley near Ludi Mae's house wearing a white shirt stained with blood. So they put out a warrant for Coolbreeze's arrest. They got him at the aluminium plant. They were still seeking information. And then a man who knew Coolbreeze for 30 years came forward to say he'd seen someone else cross the road near Ludi Mae's house with a VCR that night. Suspicious, I suppose. He'd been tracked down by an investigator working for Coolbreeze's defense team. He was working at the same country club where Coolbreeze's father served as head waiter. He said the man he'd seen cross the road was short and stocky, not Coolbreeze, who was nearly 6 foot tall. Okay. Detectives called Butch and Roadrunner back in. They recanted. They said Roadrunner claimed he implicated Coolbreeze because he was angry about an argument. He said Roadrunner backed up Butch, his false statement, because that's what everyone wanted to hear. They said the story they originally told was mostly true, that someone did bring the VCR into trade, but they said it wasn't Coolbreeze, it was Rocky Myers. If you're still interested, I'm going to keep reading just a little. I want to just get a bit of background on Rocky. They've got some here. He grew up in New Jersey, one of 10 siblings. hard life. Father was an alcoholic. Mother was battled depression. She had her first child at 14. And so what they termed as mental retardation at the time, he had an intellectual disability. He was, here we go, this is what I said. Rocky was a misunderstood, gentle person, remembered a neighbor. That's what I said. And I said that through the eyes of a neighbor. Yeah. He didn't excel like his brothers did. He couldn't tell the time at 16. That's right. He didn't learn how to read above third grade level. That's right. Remember I was saying like comprehension was primary school? Like it stopped at primary school, arrested development, shapes and patterns like young kids see, not past high school development. Okay, so he had married and had four kids, moved to be with his wife's family in that area. So his children said he's a loving father, did struggle with drug abuse, never left their lives, never abused them. Said he was there for them, didn't have to beg for anything to eat. So, but they're saying even though they Dion Myers, his second youngest son, is saying even though they didn't have much, they had their mum and dad and they had each other. Dion does not remember his father being violent. That's what I said, yeah. I concur with what I've seen. Rocky and his family settled across from Ludie Mae. He did odd jobs, scraping together cash from friends and family. His wife worked as a cook at a restaurant. Ah, that's where the cooking comes in. Okay, so he was a regular user of crack. Here we go. He'd been arrested for theft. He'd never been charged with a crime involving violence. I said that, guys. I said that. Yes. Non-violent crimes. Yeah. When he had the money, that's what I mean. It's, and you know what? This drug abuse and all that, I'm not judging anybody for any of that. Given the environment that they lived in, the times they lived in, like, it was rampant from what I understand. So it may as well just, you know, I'm not judging him for that. When he had the money, he'd walk up a narrow alley that ran three blocks from his home to Butcher's Shot House and buy. So there's an alley that runs three blocks from his house to Butcher's Shot House and buy $10-$20 worth of crack. But it sounds like he fed his kids first. Which is interesting. Okay, so after Butch and Roadrunner changed their statements, homicide detectives turned their focus toward Rocky, who was on probation for receiving stolen property. He failed a urine test, so he violated his probation. He was sent to jail and was then interrogated. They did not film or record it, but the detectives gave an account. Well, I wonder if there's a type statement. According to Detective Sergeant Dwight Hale, Rocky admitted to using crack but denied knowing anything about the murder. Said he never met Roadrunner or Butch before. But then Hale asked Rocky if he knew a man named Marzell Ewing, and Rocky said he did. It's a picture of the shot house, not Rocky's house. That's a terrible looking place. Wouldn't go in there. Marzell was associated with Butch. I'm skimming here. When the detective said that Marzell made a statement saying Rocky, he'd seen Rocky give a VCR to Butch the night Ludie Mae was killed, Rocky hung his head. Then he admitted he knew Butch and Roadrunner and said that he traded a VCR for crack at the shot house on the night of the murder. But, yeah, that seems too easy. But Rocky denied that he'd been at Ludie Mae's house that night. He said he found, oh my God, guys, he found the VCR in the alley between his house and the shot house. He changed his statements a little. Oh, hang on. Yeah, the timing. When they pressed him on the timing of his story. But we have to remember that he's intellectually disabled. In fact, it's not a coincidence that I was watching the Burke Ramsey interview earlier, because it's exactly the same thing. They said when he was 9 years old, and you know, Dr. Phil is asking him about the timing and measuring time as an adult. Can you remember back and measure time? Like, what time was this? How long did it take? And the behavior panel of four of these experts were saying that's congruent for, like, that tracks for a 9 year old or a young kid. They don't measure time well. They're not looking at their clock. Can't comprehend that. And so it makes total and complete fucking sense that he is messing up his times. Anyway, first he said it was 40 minutes before the police arrived, then it was 10 minutes, and then he said he couldn't remember clearly. We have to understand and remember too that not only is he intellectually disabled, but he's a drug user. Oh yeah, I'm not gonna read that part. Okay, so they're saying here that he didn't even know how to use a vending machine. So he would just not eat while he was talking with his current lawyer. So she would offer him something to eat or whatever, and he would say no, and then she figured out he didn't know how to operate the vending machine. Is this the kind of guy that we're expecting to have his times knuckled down? And back then, nobody's carrying a cell phone or a mobile phone in their pocket to check the time frequently. You know. And if you're not expecting to note the time, like, you're not thinking anything's going on. Vague memory is not odd, I would say. In some cases like this, I would say, that's my opinion. Yeah, it says here he was under extreme stress, anxiety, and did not understand a lot of the communication, which is what I picked up on. Asking him a month plus out, what were you doing? There's no way he can provide a good memory. Exactly. So you have someone who's intellectually disabled fumbling it. Sounding like somebody fumbling it. But for the detectives, his admission and the lie, according to them, was enough, along with the statements of the other people. Cool Breeze was released, and Rocky was charged. I want to see a photo of this Cool Breeze. If you want to go and read about the trial, go for it. I'm not going to go into that here. Yeah, they said people would have a given name, a nickname, and a street name. Yeah. But there were so many different versions of the story. A lot of holes in the prosecutor's case. And one of the jurors openly called Rocky a thug in a racial slur. So how can that be fair? Just scrolling down. You can sign a petition for Rocky, by the way. I might put one of the petitions in the comments. I mean, description. I want to see if there's a photo of Cool Breeze. Valentine Cool Breeze. Oh. I think it's entirely possible that all those statements were, I don't want to say fucked up, like coerced, not by the police necessarily, but you know, the inner workings of the hierarchy in the community. you know, maybe they paid him off. Maybe Cool Breeze's father paid somebody off or coerced somebody to say, you know. Okay. I don't think there is a picture. At least not a good one. Yeah. Cool Breeze. There was a little one back here. Oop. If I don't put the petition link in the description, just Google it. Rocky was so cute when he was younger. There's the... Well, it's Bell End Time. Bell End Time. Bell End Time. Is that him? I guess there's a lot of Anthony Valentine's. Okay. I want to see a picture of the person who did it. That's what I'm feeling like that I compare it to. But I do believe Myers is innocent, and it's entirely plausible that the killer dumped the VCR because they were paranoid, intending to come back and get it, and or they got spooked because somebody saw them. Well, because the new 911 was coming. Oh, to get the fingerprints off the VCR. But then, you know, if Rocky did come past it, his fingerprints would be on it too. He's someone known in the community. I feel like if you had a bunch of mugshots from the community at that time, he would be in it. Okay, guys. I intended for this episode to be like half an hour. But of course, Spirit has other ideas, so I hope, you know, if he didn't do it, I hope he gets exonerated, and I don't know about you guys, but I will be signing that petition, just so at least they can get, for clemency, at least they can look at the case more thoroughly. Yeah. Okay. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye, guys.